Good morning. The meeting of Administrative Regulatory Joint Committee will come to order at 11:03 a.m. It's in room 1224. Today is Tuesday, March 11th. Today, members present, are Senator Stevens, Representative Tarr, and myself, Chair Gaddis. We just got a call that there was a conflict with two other senators right now, unfortunately, but we're very, very excited to be here and learn about this topic today. Lori is our LIO moderator over here. Chris is our recording secretary today. Thank you. And also my aide, Crystal Kahneman, is here, the regulatory review, and she brings considerable amount of experience to the table and has certainly made my job much easier. So thank you very much for your service. Right now, I know it's a small crowd, but if you flip your phone off, I don't ask for donuts. We ask for fruit in this committee. So if you don't mind, maybe I shouldn't remind people.
She called them.
Right. That's a Charisse trick. Okay.
I thought that happened to me.
Really? Okay. So today we will hear a regulations overview presentation from Randy Roro from the governor's office, including federal and state law, Administrative Order 266, otherwise known as the Regulatory Efficiency Guidelines for State Agencies. Welcome, Randy. We are absolutely pleased to have you. So thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for inviting me to testify today on the topic of regulations. My name is, for the record, my name is Randy Ruaro, R-U-A-R-O. I'm staff for Governor Parnell. I'm glad the chair and the committee members have taken an active interest and role in looking at regulations. You can often hear a groan when the topic is mentioned. It can be very difficult to read regulations. They're often very technical. There's often a lot of them. I actually read part of the elevator code not too long ago, and but they are all important because they are the law, and they do impact, Alaskans. So it's important to have a good understanding of regulations. It all seems like they continually grow. I don't know if any of you have the binders in your office, but they just seem to, every year expand and never go the other direction. But if I could back up just a little bit and talk about what is a regulation. And how does AO 266 fit in? I think a good starting point is to look at where is there discretion of the state to not adopt a regulation, because many regulations come from the federal government, and they're tied to programs or to laws that the state must follow as a matter of the federal constitution. Federal law is the supreme law of the land, with some rare exceptions where there's a statute or regulation passed at the federal level that's unconstitutional, or the federal agency may not have had statutory authority to adopt that regulation. So with those fairly rare exceptions, a federal regulation is a mandate to the states. And it's important to understand that because, we're seeing I don't know if it's unprecedented, but we're seeing a lot of activity at the federal level with regulations. I included some examples in the packet, 141 new regulation packages at the federal level in 3 days from New Year's to January 3rd. There's some other stories. And It just the volume, can make it hard to track, hard to filter out, which of these federal regs are going to impact the state and how. We do follow as we can. Our agencies track regs that impact their operations, and we do comment on federal regulations. That is an opportunity that's provided under the Federal Administrative Procedures Act. So anyone, any Alaskan, any legislator who sees a federal regulation that hasn't been fully adopted yet and wanted to get some comments into the record, that opportunity is available for them and any other citizen. I wanted to give as an example just one regulation we're tracking that could have a significant fiscal impact on the state and other entities in the state, and that's what's called a reinsurance fee. And this is a federal fee that's been set at $63 per covered health insurance covered employee for 2014. And we're tracking, the regs aren't final yet at the federal level, but if they do apply to the state, and if the fee does apply to municipal and school district covered employees, then those entities will have to pay that fee by the end of December.
Can you back up just a little bit? So $63 for?
It's $63 per covered employee.
And the purpose being?
The purpose of that fee is it goes into a treasury account in Washington, and then it is paid back out to insurance companies that qualify for the payment. And I believe the intent of it is that in the early years of the PPACA, Obamacare, there'll be some insurers that are not earning what's deemed a reasonable return on their policy issuances, and so they will be entitled to receive a payment of this fee. And I'm not an expert on the fee, but we can provide someone with more detailed information if you're interested. It is a moving target right now. The regs are not final, but that's an example of a regulation at the federal level that's in progress that we're tracking and would have a significant fiscal impact anyway, and we'll continue to follow that.
Yes, we would like more information on that.
Sure.
I mean, that could have huge impacts to the state. It could have huge impacts to municipalities. That's a tremendous amount. If we have roughly 20,000 state employees, that's a nice chunk of change.
Through the chair, it does add up. And we're still evaluating whether that fee will be levied against the state and other health plan providers, but we should have some more information, I think, within the next week or two. In Alaska, at the state level, what is a regulation is defined extremely broad. It's in the State Administrative Procedure Act. It's 4462.640A3, and it defines a regulation as every rule, regulation, order, or standard of general application, or the amendment, supplement, or revision of a rule, regulation, order, or standard adopted by a state agency to implement, interpret, or make specific the law enforced or administered by it, or to govern its procedure. So it's a very broad definition, I think, and it captures, that's one of the reasons, the reg binders grow, is that our definition of what a regulation is for purposes of agency action is really broad. So we have if you look at it, we have a broad definition at the state level of what a regulation is. So that's going to cause a significant number of new regulations each year. We also have, the federal level, lots of regulations being passed at that level. But we also have, Alaska has a fairly significant number of boards and commissions. I think it's over 100. The list is in the packet. But and those boards and commissions are constantly reviewing things like education requirements to be an accountant, continuing licensing requirements. And so we see a lot of new regulations that come from the boards and commissions that regulate professions and activities in the state. We also see a significant number of regulations come from the Fish and Game Boards, as one would expect. And, there's a lot of regulations that are as simple as opening and closing a season for moose or for fish and game. And because the current regulation may have a defined year in it, it may say for 2013 the area that's open is A, B, and C. Then the next year, you know, that board needs to, they need to update that regulation. So we see a significant number of Fish and Game Board regulations and Alaska Department of Fish and Game regulations as well, just opening, closing seasons, adjusting boundaries, take levels. So, and then we have, you know, State Department regulations, which are really where there's probably the most discretion of what to do with a regulation. But even then, the departments are, of course, still bound by the scope of their statutory authority that the legislature's given them. And it's in that area that the AO 266 is aimed at, trying to develop some best practices for commissioners when they're adopting regulations. I think the AO is in the packet, and it really breaks down along two lines, and that's existing regulations, and that's as can be as simple as asking agencies to review existing regs and look for regs that are just no longer necessary. They can be repealed. In reviewing regs relevant to the governor's office, we found some regs that dealt with administering disaster funds from 10 to 14 years ago. And, you know, those funds have been distributed. And so the regs are simply on the books, but they're not necessary anymore. And so repeal is looking at how we can just even clean up, you know, the existing regs. And then there's some guidance and direction given to look for commissioners to look to how existing regs can be amended to streamline them, make them easier to read. And, you know, some regs are just so technical, it's not an easy task. And we're looking for a very, you know, strong public process and input from persons, Alaskans, who are affected by regulations. And then in moving forward with proposed regs, it's a similar guidance to the commissioners, is to really take a hard look at them, review them closely with staff, look for ways to make them better, and take input on the regs and the impacts they're having on the regulated community. There was a question, what can the committee or members of the public, you know, do to help, I guess, watch regulations or participate in the process? And in Alaska, under our Administrative Procedures Act, any member of the public can petition a state agency to change a regulation. So it's a very open process. It's probably not used very often, but it is there. And then at the federal level, you really just have to comment to your elected representatives and senators. The federal government has a process, and the name of it escapes me at the moment, but where a regulation can be, I don't know that it repealed is the right answer, but or the right description, but it can be stopped by a majority vote. And Senator Murkowski recently tried this approach with some EPA regulations. It wasn't successful, but that's a process that's in place at the federal level. I think the biggest benefit or comment that I could make that would be helpful is that to really participate in the regs process, because that's your opportunity to comment and to make regs better. Our commissioners are you know, supposed to review the comments and make edits and changes where they can in their staff. But it's very important to participate, and we found when we do get good participation from the public, particularly a stakeholder group or a regulated community, that they can make some, you know, really good suggestions on how to improve the regs process. And, you know, so we really encourage that. With that, Madam Chair, that's a conclusion of my overview.
Okay. I have several questions, and I wasn't sure whether to ask you during the process or not. But first of all, I'll make a comment that recently I was in an education meeting, and I asked our Commissioner of Education, I said, are our federal mandates fully funded for education? And he just shrugged his shoulder like, I don't know. Mm. And to me, it's a question that I think we really need to have answered, because it could be where the state is backfilling a tremendous amount of money for federal mandates. And if we are, I just want to know how much, you know, that is, knowing that our budgets are going down. And so I just think it's really, really important to be able to identify, is it a federal regulation, is it a state regulation, and is it fully funded? And especially for regulations, what does the state have? I mean, with how many pages is it? It's like 20,000-30,000 pages for Obamacare. Do we just boom have to just submit and have to do all these as a state, or do we have any authority to say time out if these aren't funded? You know, we can't do this.
To the chair, I think the answer is it depends on each specific regulation, because there may be different legal defenses available or other ways to oppose the federal regulation. It's a tremendous amount of work to take apart the regulations, you know, and find the specific points that are, you know, mandates to the state. But, you know, we can find those, and we do look for them. And where we can challenge them, or the Department of Law and the Attorney General agree that, you know, there's a reasonable challenge that can be brought, you know, we would challenge those. But it is, I think, going to depend on the, you know, each specific regulation and what it's telling the state to do. Unfortunately, you know, it's just hard to make a characterize them all as having to be imposed on the state or not. It really comes down to a case-by-case evaluation.
Right. Yeah, because it just seems like the Constitution needs to come in, you know, and say, you know, if it's not specifically given, then, you know, states have sovereignty. So I just think that especially when the Obamacare regs are 30 times as long as the law, as you have in your presentation, there's a tremendous. Do you know how many regs there are right now with Obamacare?
I think there were 350 pages issued this week on part of the act, but it's an ongoing process.
So is that 23,000? I don't know how many. Last time I checked, it was over 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a lot. It's definitely a lot.
Okay. I have a few more questions. I definitely am interested in asking you, and if any other members are interested, please let me know. But the Board of Fish and Game, there is a lot of regulations that end up coming out of that. And there's a lot of frustration, I know, in my community about what goes on these boards. And I feel like they don't report to any of us. It's just they're kind of a free agent out there. We've legislated this power away. But I guess my question to you is, who do they have to check in with when they pass regulations?
To the chair, my understanding of the boards and fish and game is that they were set up in our Constitution to be basically operate outside any influence from the legislature or the governor. They're supposed to be an autonomous, independent board. And so that was the structure, you know, that was selected at that time as being the best structure for having decisions made about fish and game. And as you're probably aware, with allocation decisions, it's very rare that both sides or multiple sides are happy with, you know, they're difficult.
Mm-hmm. Because I actually had the commissioner of fish and, you know, Cora, talk to me. I was like, how come this and how come that and da-da-da. And basically she has to do a lot of things at the board. Ask her. She has much less power than what I thought she had, you know, as a commissioner. So, you know, which gets down to, you know, a separate issue, but basically in a department, who exactly originates that? Is it the person who's given delegation authority in the department? And is there any way, there's none that I can, but I just want to get it on the record, to repeal a regulation, you know, that has been passed? All we can do is public comment. As a legislative body, we can either publicly comment or we can basically send a letter in and request that it be put off so we can look at the legislative intent, or it takes a broad vote of the body to do anything significant. So anyway, if you could just go over that just briefly, and if you can recommend any changes that need to be done.
Sure, Madam Chair. There is a statute in our Administrative Procedures Act that allows any person, including a legislator, to petition a state agency for a change in a regulation. So that's an option that's available for any Alaskan resident. Outside of the petition process, you would have to, I believe, pass a statutory change. A statute trumps a regulation, so a statutory change that is different than what the regulation says would carry the day. So there are a couple methods.
Okay, well, I recently had one. I'm not going to get into the details of that, but a statute clearly says we couldn't do what we were doing, and it was because of a court case that didn't include a statute. You know, that particular statute, it wasn't part of the court case. Mm-hmm. So, but then the state promulgated regulations that were contradicting the statute, but they said that they had to. The Department of Law said that they did based on a court case. So, to me, where did they get the power to do that?
Madam Chair, I can try to help with that question. In cases where there's a court decision interpreting a statute or the Constitution, the court's decision carries the day as to the interpretation of the statute. So the agency, if they were saying we're not free to take a different approach because of the court's order, that would be correct, unless that court decision were overturned. The courts, as part of their function of the judicial branch, have the authority to interpret statutes as constitutional or not and bind people to their decisions.
Okay, and the statute was as clear could be. However, it wasn't introduced into the court case, and that's where I believe where the issue was. So it wasn't a comprehensive look at statutes. It was selective looking at statutes. So that still, you know, is an issue that I, you know, definitely believe needs to be addressed. But it can't.
Not on that, just on the Senator.
Okay, Senator Stevens.
Randy, I think the best thing we can do often is to get rid of outdated regulations and make sure that they're no longer on the books, because it only confuses the issue with, you know, so I think I was looking at on the second page of your AL-266, identify regulations that should be repealed or amended to decrease the burden of fiscal and non-fiscal impacts on the affected public. So I just wondering, what are we actively doing to accomplish that? Do we ever get a report on the amount of regulations we chucked out every year? And is there some way to give somebody a bonus if they get rid of something they no longer need?
Through the chair,
or at least take them to lunch, you know. Right.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens. We have started the repeal review process. I don't believe there was an active one in place before the AO. Talking to Deborah Baer, the regulations attorney, she's pretty happy that folks are taking a look for these expired regs, because they can sit there for years and then jump up or be confused with, you know, another regulation. So that's really a step one, and we're making some repeals this year, looking for more. And I'll be working with commissioners and walking through their sections of the regs, and we'll be looking for repeals, more repeals.
Would it be appropriate for us to receive some kind of a report on actually what is repealed? It'd be nice to see that. It doesn't have to be anything complicated, but just to know that we're actually aggressively performing that part of your AO.
I think that is an outstanding idea. It'll lead right into another one of my questions. Do you have a breakdown of how many regulations that we pass each year, and also how many that we repeal each year?
Mm-hmm. Through the chair, I have a list, or can obtain the list, updated list, from the regulations attorney, who keeps that information, and I can provide that to the committee. If I could just mention, in looking at those gross numbers, it can be a little misleading, because there's so many fish and game, you know, board of accountants. There's just a number of regs that reappear every year, and they'll be back, you know, next year, because we have to change the reference site to the updated building code, or the you know, the year has just changed for the moose season. I could look at the list, and I could try to call out those types of regulations that just reappear, and they'll be back next year. From those that are kind of truly discretionary.
Mm-hmm. We would definitely appreciate that. I think it's a fabulous recommendation. And, mm-hmm. you know, because the frustrating part for me as a legislator mm-hmm. is a lot of regulations get done and then people think we did them. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't know this evasive, you know, person, elusive, that has created this regulation that we're held accountable for. And then there's it's so difficult. Basically, have to change a statute in order to repeal a regulation, but then the statute can again be misinterpreted and used to promulgate more. So it's like this incredible, I mean, there's so much power in regulations. I'm just completely amazed. And if there's something that we can do, a good start is repealing either statutes that would if you repeal the statute, would it automatically repeal all the regulations for that statute? Is that a given?
To the chair, if there's a regulation that is expressly repealed by a statute, it is invalid, should be taken off the register, the administrative register, and removed. So that is a method.
Okay. Is that an automatic? Is that automatic? Is that your job, or is that Deb Baer's job? Or
it hasn't been automatic. In other words, there's regs on the books today that I believe have been repealed or expired on their own, but the cleanup, you know, effort hasn't been undertaken or caught those.
Okay, and that's exactly why we had this hearing today, the Administrative Order 266. Basically, can you tell us the status of that? Can you give us a report on the findings? Was there lots of noncompliance? Was there a lot of unnecessary regs still on the books? That I'm very interested to find out. This was back in August, I believe, administrative order. So once, if you could just review quickly what it is, and then what the findings are.
Sure. Through the chair, the stage in the AO that we're at and have completed, at least an initial round, and again, it's an ongoing effort, yearly effort, is to walk through the statutes, have the agencies look through their statutes and regs, and look for these regulations that are just there. They're either expired or They conflict with a new statute, and so we've got a list of repeals, and those have been submitted to the regulations attorney for processing, as they do with all reg packages. So we've taken that initial step, and we'll be working on more in-depth review and looking for amendments to existing statutes, simplifying regulations, I'm sorry. And that'll be the step we'll probably pick up in earnest right after the session.
Can you give us any hints of is there a tremendous amount that need to be repealed? Or?
Well, I think there's a significant number. I think we found roughly 20, you know, sets of different regulations that could come off. But, you know, it's thousands of pages at the same time, and so we're going to just keep going back. You know, we'll take off what we find. We'll do some additional review. We'll probably find, you know, ones that we missed in the initial review. But it'll be an ongoing process. By the end of this year, I may be the most familiar person with the administrative code. So
What do you think we should do as legislators to help with this entire process? So one, it's more public. Two, that we have more information, and three, that we can get some of these off the books.
Mm-hmm. You know, to the chair, one thing that I think legislators could help with is when they hear or they receive a constituent concern about something, and again, it could be anything from the elevator code and how it's maybe not grandfathering in certain buildings or elevators. You know, go ahead and contact the commissioner that has authority over those regs, and let them know that, you know, you've got a complaint from a constituent who's concerned about the regs, and you know, they'll more than likely get a hold of me, and we'll review it and take a look. But you may also advise the constituent that, you know, and many probably haven't read the Administrative Procedure Act. They're probably not aware that they're able to petition the agency for a change itself. In other words, they don't have to just comment to the agency if they want to write a petition, which is, I think you could style it even as a letter, but note in there that you're asking the agency to change the regulation in a certain way. Then that also starts a process for the agency to review the reg and possibly make a change.
Okay, I'm going to get a little bit deeper, if you don't mind. When a department, or even a board for that matter, the people who originate these regulations, what kind of qualifications do they have?
I believe, to the chair, I believe each agency has a regulations specialist position, who is an individual who is trained in what regulations are, how to adopt them, the procedures. And I believe the regulations specialists work with the director level or below staff who are familiar with the program operations. And they work together with the commissioner to develop regulations and the Department of Law.
Okay, and then if I could ask this question in regards to who enforces regulations and who sets the penalties for noncompliance of regulations?
To the chair, if the penalties and direction of who will enforce the regs is not set out in federal statute or state statute, but the regs fall within the jurisdiction of a certain department, it'll be that department. For example, if it was a clean water quality regulation that is in the title, you know, the authority for that regulation is in the title of DEC, then it would be that agency that would be enforcing the regulation.
So does each and every board have the authority to promulgate regulations?
Madam Chair, you'd have to look at each and every board's organic statutes that created the board to see what regulatory authority each one is given by the legislature. But I think it's very common for each board or commission to have some regulatory authority.
Can you list all the boards, for example, I believe the Board of Fish and Personnel Board, that have virtually no oversight once they, you know, promulgate a regulation?
Through the chair, most boards have an independent area of expertise, so to speak, where they're given authority to take action in that area without oversight from, I believe, either the legislature or the executive branch. Their actions still have to comply with statutes and the Constitution, so there is a check to a board or commission, I suppose, from the court system.
Or a false interpretation in many cases, or a misinterpretation by courts is what, you know, many are very frustrated with what's happened with many court cases that has put tremendous burden on either the individual or changed the intent of what a statute was that was passed, and a backdoor vehicle was made that really is in conflict with a statute. So in that kind of a situation, what would you recommend? I mean, basically just rewriting a statute that's later on the books, and then in that situation, it would have to be challenged in court again.
Madam Chair, correct. The remedy, if the court system interprets a regulation or statute in a way that the legislature feels is inaccurate or not true to the legislature's intent, the remedy is for the legislature to pass, and we've seen this on certain topics over the years where, you know, you kind of go back and forth from the court system to the legislature where the court makes a decision, the legislature clarifies it. You know, there may be another court case, and the legislature clarifies its intent again. So that's, I think, an outbreak from the just the system we have with, you know, co-equal branches of government.
Okay. Would you recommend, since there's so many boards and commissions that have so much power to promulgate regulation, do you think that it would be good for them to have to report back into the legislature on these issues?
To the chair, I think that some boards may have reporting requirements in statute already, but certainly if the legislature wants to know, you know, what's happening with a board, it's within its authority to say, I want to see, you know, an annual report of your activities and what you've done, what regulations you've passed in the last year. That's certainly something the legislature could ask for.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a bill that addresses some of these, it's up in finance this week, but it's something that I think is very, very important to deal with. And if you really could follow up with us in regards to, you know, many of the topics that we've discussed today, and also, you know, federal regulations and the mandate and the, you know, review of funding, of federal funding. What are our abilities as a state I'm really concerned about the Obamacare 20-some thousand pages of regulations, and I've gotten many emails, many phone calls, and and we're doing what we can, passing resolutions saying, listen, we don't like this, but as a state, as a legislative body, what can we do to help? Because a lot of these are going to have tremendous impacts to our state. They're going to have tremendous impacts to our municipalities, to our people, to our businesses. And we really want to know and have the ability to take action as needed. So we want to work with other branches of government and state sovereignty in order to do what we need to do to help protect some of our jobs and our people, and especially when our budgets are dwindling right now. A lot of us are concerned about federal mandates that even talk about that $63 per head tax that we talked about earlier today. You know, are we going to have to pay for that? Where's that money going to be coming from, et cetera? So just any information that you can get back with us, work with us, we'll definitely be inviting you back. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll get at least a twice-a-year update from you, and we'd really like to see also follow up on Administrative Order 266 and see, I'd love to see a list of repeals and help partner with getting some of these regs that are no longer necessary, or the statute's been repealed and the reg hasn't, just working with you on making sure that that happens. So see if there's any other questions from anybody on the committee. Okay. I think we're good there. We are going to thank you very, very much. I really, really appreciate your feedback and your presentation today. With that, we're going to get with the committee, and at the will of the committee, we'll probably be meeting on March 25th in regards to some education upcoming education regulations. So just wanted to give people a heads up. If there are any other issues that the committee would like to address, please make sure you let me know. Okay? And with that, we will adjourn at, it looks like, 11:45.
And apologies, I ran late.